From the Word of God, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census was first taken while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as was told them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. It is rather unusual that an organization meets to vote itself out of existence, but that was the occasion with the University Christian Movement, which had an office in New York City. And after they voted themselves out of existence, they put a sign on the door that said, "Gone out of business." Didn't know what our business was. And thinking of that, I wonder how many churches today could in good faith post that on their doors and close and never be missed. I pray that it is never posted outside the doors of our church, because the business of the Christian church is Christmas and Easter, and always the two of them together. Go back with me, please, to 1915. It's a cold night, and we're on the Western Front. Over here in this elongated trench are the Germans. Over here on this elongated trench are the British. And in between is no man's land. It's bitter cold. There's snow. There are bullets flying. Our cannons bursting, and in the trenches the men are huddled together trying to stay warm. But as midnight, December 24th approaches, Christmas Eve, suddenly the guns stop. The cannons stop. And there's silence. across what had been moments ago a battlefield. And over here in the German trenches, there comes singing. Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, Alles schlaft, eins im Wald. And after the Germans are finished singing, from the British trenches comes the response. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And then the Germans again start singing, and they sing, O little town of Bethlehem, and then the British respond. And they continue this antiphonal singing back and forth for some time, from one trench to the other. And then suddenly, from the German trenches, the soldiers pour out and run into no man's land, where just a few minutes before, to have come there would have been instant death because of the enemy in this trench shooting across at the advancing soldiers. And the German officers are trying to maintain order, if nothing else, and calling to their troops to come back to stop this foolishness. But as they get into no man's land, the British soldiers come out and they meet in no man's land and they shake hands and they hug each other. And they say, let the shooting stop, let the war stop, it's Christmas Eve. And there's laughter, and there's joking, and there's joy. Of all the incidents of World War I, probably no one is more unusual than that. And in studying to talk to you this morning, I found a similar instance from 1863 when our nation was divided in civil war, and on Christmas Eve, the guns stopped. You see, it's at Christmas time that we do unusual things. It's at Christmas time that the best comes out in us and the worst is pushed aside. It's at Christmas time that we feel kindness, and often towards people we don't even like, and wonder why only at this time of year. It's at Christmas time we think like children, and children are so naive. It's a strange season. It's a season when the child comes out in every one of us, and we instinctively look up to God as our Father. And we feel very much like a little boy or like a little girl. Do you know the reason? Christmas is for children. It's for those who receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only for the children of God, who do not turn and frown and refuse the greatest gift that's ever been offered, but who receive it and respect it and retain it. Let me tell you some children's stories. Willie Farnsworth was 5 years old. He and his family lived in Chicago. He was going to a Christian kindergarten, and they'd been teaching the children prayers. And one day, coming home from kindergarten, he noticed that his mama was unusually down, that she didn't have quite the smile in the spring that she normally had when he came home from kindergarten. Now, it didn't occur to his five-year-old mind what was going on in his mama's heart, but her mama had died just recently. But he saw his mama sad, and he said, Mama, can I pray for you? And she said, that would be very nice, Willie. And Willie bowed his head and prayed, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And with great solemnity, he continued, under God. And Willie's mama didn't correct him. She smiled and said, that too is a prayer. And Willie's not confused. Now we leave Chicago and go to Cleveland, Ohio. It's the first week of first grade. And the teacher has made the mistake of going out of the classroom and leaving the kids in the classroom unsupervised. And not moments after the door closes behind her, a book flies across the room. And then a pencil. And then erasers. And all of the kids are throwing stuff all over the room. Except for one little boy who's sitting right down front, staring straight ahead. And when the teacher comes back in the room, she sees the chaos. And she sees this one little boy who's not throwing books, not throwing erasers, not throwing pencils. And she goes over and she gets down by his desk and she says, "Johnny, don't you like to throw books?" He says, "Oh, yes, ma'am, I do." "Well, don't you like to throw erasers and pencils?" He says, "Oh, yes, ma'am, I do." "Well, then, why weren't you throwing them with everybody else?" "Everybody else but you was throwing them. Why weren't you throwing them?" And little Johnny said, "I can't." And she said, "You can't?" He said, "No, ma'am." "Well, why can't you, Johnny?" He said, "Because I am a church." You see, he'd been told by his mother, "You're a holy tabernacle in which Jesus lives," and he'd gotten the impression that he was a church. He wasn't off base at all, was he? Now come with me to Florida, to Miami. Jody is 10 years old. And her mother has brought her to church, to the pastor, during the week, business day, office hours. And Jody's mom says to the pastor, "Jody wants to join the church. I'm not sure she understands. I'm not sure she's ready. What do you think?" And the pastor says, "Jody, come in the office with me. Let's talk." And her mama follows and the pastor says, No. "Jody's joining the church, not you. You sit out here and wait." And they go in and sit down. And Jody says, "I went to church in Connecticut where we used to live. And every Sunday morning they taught us how to make Play-Doh. And I loved making Play-Doh. Every Sunday we made Play-Doh. And I found out, since we've moved to Miami, that the whole time they were teaching us to make Play-Doh, they should have been telling us that Jesus loved us. Which, quite frankly, I never knew. And I'm very upset." And they talked for 55 minutes. And when they came out, Jody's mom looked at the pastor and smiled knowingly and said, "Jody's not ready, is she?" And the pastor said, "Jody's the most ready person I know. And if she doesn't join the church, I'm going to have to leave." You heard about the little boy who came home from Sunday school with a drawing of an airplane and a man up front and three people, two men, a woman and a man and a baby in the middle of the plane, and said, "Mama, I drew this in Sunday school." She said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "It's what they taught us in Sunday school. It's a flight into Egypt. That's Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus." And she said, "Who's that up front?" And the little boy said, "That's Pontius the pilot." Another little boy stopped and he said, "I know it's your birthday, Jesus. And I know the angels are giving you a party. So I won't keep you long. I just wanted to say, happy birthday, Jesus. I love you." The Sunday school teacher said to the class, "What's the definition of heaven? What is heaven?" And one little girl said, "Well, the streets are made of gold, the city's completely clean, everyone smiles, and the thermostat is set at a comfortable level." That would be heaven. One last story. Both his mother and father prayed for Brad Rice to be born. And when he was born, he had an open spine, water on the brain, club feet, and other problems. He was in the hospital at Christmas time, having endured another operation, and the shunt they had put in his brain 2 days earlier wasn't working. Brad, age 8, was in terrible pain, and his mother left the room, went to the ladies' room, went into a stall, locked the door, got down on her knees and prayed, "God, take him. I can't stand to see him suffer anymore." She thought her heart would burst. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, Brad awoke free from pain and said, "I'm hungry." And the following August, he was in church. And when the pastor gave an invitation to receive Christ, Brad just started rolling his wheelchair down to the front. And his mom said, "I don't know whether he's old enough to understand or not, but we all have to come as little children, don't we?" This is the season when everyone is equal, equally in need of the gift, of the greatest gift that's ever been given. He came to die that you and I might live. He came to earth that you and I might go to heaven. No wonder we respond as children at this season. In the honesty of the moment, we know that God is the Father and we are His children. Going out of business. Didn't know what our business was. Oh, we do. And our business is the love of God, Emmanuel, with us. And our business is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Christmas. And without it, it's just another holiday and another excuse for another party or to have another drink or to spend another weary night. Christmas is for children, the children of God, through Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord.